Hi, guys, and welcome to another episode of For You From Eve. I'm here with Vanessa, who is someone I found on Instagram. She has an amazing YouTube channel. That's how I first discovered her. Vanessa, do you want to do a little background on who you are and what you do, just in case people don't know you?
Yeah, for sure. So hi, guys. I'm Vanessa Tiu. So I'm a YouTuber as well as Instagram. I dabble a little bit in TikTok, but I'm also a full-time university student. I'm 20. I live in Toronto. Yeah, I guess that's kind of like my little intro, the gist of who I am and what I do.
And Vanessa, you're so young. Like we're like pretty much the same age. I'm 21. So we're like both kind of there. And you're just like, your community is so huge. You're in the YouTube space, which is, I feel like your kind of main niche, I would say, is like your YouTube space. And you're also into Instagram. How did you get into content creation and going onto YouTube? How long have you been doing it?
Yeah, it's definitely been a long journey for me. I started YouTube, I want to say back in 2015, I think it was. So yeah. I've been on YouTube for like almost 7 years now, which is pretty crazy. But the big thing that got me into YouTube and that whole realm was just, I watched a lot of YouTube as like a 15, 14 year old girl, and watching these other girls do it, that was something that made me go, oh, I really want to do that. In terms of Instagram, I feel like I really just started Instagram like 2019. I started taking it more seriously. Before, it was kind of just like a side thing to my YouTube. But 2019, I actually discovered Neat Sound Raider and then Emma Leger. I don't know if you know who they are, but like big Instagram bloggers. And I loved what they did and really just gave me like big Pinterest vibes. And I was such a Pinterest girl. And that kind of made me go, oh, I really want to start doing that and like taking more aesthetic photos and like just making Instagram more of a thing as well. So that's kind of how I got into that.
How was it going into YouTube at that year? Because I feel like 2014, 2015, our age group, our kind of like generation, we loved watching YouTube, but at least I know you're in Toronto, but like in the US, if you were on YouTube during that time, you were kind of getting like made fun of, or people in school were like, why are you posting videos of this? How was it going into that while you were in high school?
Yeah, because I started at the end of my grade 9 year. So that would have been like, yeah, like 2015. Definitely there was a lot of, I feel like exactly what you said, like controversy around people doing it. Like people definitely got made fun of. I know I had friends that like wanted to start channels and never did because of that. I was lucky enough to have just a great community of friends around me that just loved it and supported me a lot. I also feel like when I first started YouTube, I didn't tell anyone besides my boyfriend and like my friends and family, like close friends and family. So not a lot of people found out about it until I started growing, which was like grade 11, I feel like. And by then I was already vlogging at school and people kind of like, they enjoyed it. They were like, oh, you know, Vanessa vlogs, like that's a thing. And like, wow, they wanted to be in the vlogs and stuff. So I'm really fortunate and really lucky that I never had that bad experience with things. But yeah.
Because I feel like, yeah, a lot of YouTubers who have been on YouTube since 2014, 2015, they'll always say like, yeah, I was bullied for like a few years in high school because people didn't understand what I was doing. They would make fun of it. So yeah, you definitely got super lucky, because even for me personally, I tried YouTube during that year too. And like just before that, and it was like the second I heard one comment from someone, I was uninterested. I was like, oh my God, I can't do this. Like, I can't deal with someone saying something to me. I can't deal with it being like something someone makes fun of. So I definitely applaud you for that, because I feel like it is a harder space to get into during that year. I feel like now Instagram and YouTube and, you know, TikTok is very normalized now, but I feel like in those years, it was very kind of like not normal and kind of a little bit weird to be posting your life on the internet and people didn't really understand it.
Yeah, no, it's definitely way more of a mainstream thing now than it was back then. Like, it's just weird to think, like, I don't know any of my personal, like, close friends that did Instagram or do Instagram or YouTube or anything back then. I know, like, one or two now from my, like, high school friend circle that do it, which is kind of cool. Like, people, it's way more accepted and just, like, yeah, which is great, because it's honestly such a great space and a great creative outlet for people. So
it is. And your social media, your YouTube, your Instagram, it's all about wellness, health, just having that productive lifestyle. I watch your YouTube vlogs all the time, and they're honestly my favorite because they just make you want to get out of bed and like clean your room and get it together. How did you get into that wellness space? Did you always kind of have a healthy lifestyle of working out and eating clean?
Yeah. So for me, it's kind of always been implemented in my lifestyle. I'm a very, very type A person. And then growing up as well, I played very competitive soccer. I don't know what the comparison would be in the States, but I played provincial level soccer. So like basically the highest you can get for my age, I was really young. So I've always kind of had like a go, go, go lifestyle, very active, whether it was in sports, like high school sports or lifting. I started going to the gym when I was 16, but mostly because like I had stopped playing competitive soccer at that point and kind of just wanted to stay active and like had a little bit of background in lifting from doing that competitive sports. I feel like in the last few years, though, it's really transitioned into that more wellness lifestyle and understanding that like you need balance and you need to be more like have like a level ground versus you can't just be go, go, go all the time. And there's this delicate balance between having like slow productivity versus being like high productivity and motivated all the time. But yeah, I guess that's kind of how I got into it, is I've always been that like type A person that likes staying productive and like school, and it's obviously like in school. So yeah, I guess it's a part of me as much as it is a part of my lifestyle.
I like how you said you were always on go, go, go because of sports and wanting to lift and kind of just like working out, but you realized that with that working out and fitness lifestyle, you needed a balance of slowing down and resting your body and kind of getting into wellness. What is wellness? When you think of wellness, what does it kind of mean to you? Does it mean journaling? Does it mean eating clean? Like, what does it mean to you?
I feel like for me personally, wellness is the balance. So yeah, eating, not necessarily eating clean, but eating nutritious whole foods in balance with like having those treats and snacks. I really go by the 80-20 rule. So it's like eating clean 80% of the time, and then 20% of the time you have like that more junk food and snacks that you want. So wellness to me is finding kind of like that balance that suits you and suits your life. Journaling is definitely something for me, because I feel like a big part of wellness is that mental health aspect and like being more in touch with yourself and your emotions and how you are actually doing, whether it's a bad day or a good day. And I find journaling for me really, really does that, because it's kind of like pouring out your thoughts and it's like, what really is going on in my head? That's how I'm feeling.
Yeah. I feel like with journaling, everyone kind of, I've heard so many people just be like, journaling just isn't for me. Like, it's not something I can do and everything. What's your advice for someone who's listening to this and they're like, oh my gosh, I'm so jealous that this girl gets so affected by journaling, because it's totally not something that I can do. It's not manageable for me. Because even for me, I grew up journaling. I have journals from when I was 5 years old, 8 years old. Like, I was always journaling, writing down my feelings, everything. And then once I was in high school, I kind of stopped a little bit in like junior, senior year, because I was just at the age where I didn't think it was for me anymore. And I just kind of got back into it now that I'm like entering my 20s. What's your advice for someone that's listening that wants to get into journaling, but has the excuse of like, it's not for me, I can't just sit down and write my thoughts?
So I'm actually very similar to you. I journaled when I was younger. I want to say like grade 7 and 8, I have like solid journals from those years, and then kind of like fell off in high school. Damn, yeah. And recently have started picking it back up. But like throughout those high school years, really thought like, no, this isn't for me. I can't just sit down and like do like a dear diary. Like, what are my thoughts today? Like, that is not my style of journaling. Not for me whatsoever at all. So if you're really wanting to get into journaling and like trying to get in that space, what kind of brought me back into it is gratitude journaling and the 5-minute journal. So I guess most people in the wellness community will know what the 5-minute journal is, but for listeners that if they're not, basically it's a gratitude journal where in the morning, it's called the 5-minute journal because it's supposed to take around 5 minutes, and you write down 3 things that you're grateful for today, 3 things that would make today great, and then just a little daily affirmation. And that doing that every day, or like just starting to get into that habit, whether I actually did it in the 5-minute journal, like the physical book, or just like wrote it on my phone or wrote it somewhere, I feel like that really is what kind of brought me into journaling and helped me find like the journal routine that I do now that I love.
Yeah. And I feel like the 5-minute journal, because it's guided, it's easier to kind of get into, whereas like a blank journal is kind of like, okay, now I'm overwhelmed and I don't know what to do. For me, I did the 5-minute journal. I started the 5-minute journal when like March 2020. So like 2 years ago almost. And I like finished it. It's like done. And I liked it for like a beginner. But then after a while, when you do those little prompts, you kind of want to explore into like bigger prompts and like figuring things out on your own. So I feel like switching up your journals is also a good way to get into journaling. So you're not always kind of like, some people might not like writing the same thing or like the same thoughts. Going back to your fitness journey, I think it's funny because I played soccer too growing up, like loved soccer. What position did you play?
I was the keeper. So more definitely, I'd say intensively, like you're diving a lot and like,
Yeah, definitely. I was a midfielder, so totally different positions. But I just think it's funny because when I stopped playing soccer and basketball, those were like my two main sports in high school. And I graduated and I was in college. I realized like, oh my God, I'm not moving my body. For the first like 2 years of college, I was at like the lowest point of my wellness journey, lowest point of my life in general, because I didn't have my sports. And I was like, what do I do with this energy? Like once you're used to playing a sport every day, you don't know what to do with it. And then it takes a little bit of time to realize like I should be working out. So I like how you mentioned, like I was playing soccer and then I stopped, but I realized I still had to be kind of moving my body because you're an athlete. Like you need to be competing with yourself and strengthening yourself. So that's kind of how I got into working out too. So I thought it was cool that we had similar stories. For someone who's listening to this and maybe isn't in the fitness space and wants to be consistent with it, what's your advice for consistency, especially now that it's February? Because I feel like in January, at least for me, when I go to the gym, it's super crowded because that's everyone's resolutions. And now it's kind of slowing down a little bit. So what's your advice for someone that wants to remain consistent in their fitness journey?
I feel like you really just have to build up that habit and dedication, because obviously at the beginning of the year, January, it's a new year, it's a new month. You're really motivated to start going to the gym and, you know, making those new habits. But obviously at some point that motivation is going to fail you. And that's where those dedication and habits pick up. So for me, I feel like it's at those low points and days where you're like, oh, I really don't want to go, but like, you know, I probably should. That's where you need to just like give yourself that little push and be like, you know what, I'm going to feel so good after I go hit this workout. I'm going to feel so good after I go for that run or do whatever it is that is your movement and your like your fitness for that day. You just know you're going to feel so good afterwards. Or even if you can only get in, like maybe it's a lack of time that day, but you want to keep it up. Getting in like a 15 minute workout, if that's all you can do for that day, like just get it in, get that movement in and start building those habits, and that long-term dedication will pay off.
Yeah. I feel like the biggest misconception with working out is that you have to do it every single day for like 2 hours. And it's like, you could literally do a 5 minute workout if that's all you have time for. But as long as you're prioritizing it, it's not about the workout that you're doing. Sometimes it's the fact that you're like forcing your mind to work out. So for me, when I tried getting into working out, I was like, I'm going to force myself for 21 days to work out. For those 21 days, I wasn't doing a 2 hour workout and like completely drenching my body. Like every other day, maybe I would have a really good workout, but some days I would do like a 10 minute walk or like 5 minutes of stretching yoga, like whatever it was. But as long as I had 21 days of moving my body, after that 21 days, I was like, okay, now I'm going to go to the gym 3 to 4 times a week. And not every single day is going to be a crazy day, but it's like, I'm adjusting my mind to like a new schedule. And now 1 year later, I'm going to the gym like 5 to 6 times a week, like an hour and a half each, but only because I built it up and built up that consistency. Do you still do strength training? What are kind of your favorite workouts to do? Do you go to a gym?
Yeah, I basically only do strength training. I find that that's really what's for me. I love weightlifting and that whole aspect of fitness. I did a bit of running when I was younger and just, it really wasn't for me. And there's also just like not a pool or like swimming wise, anything like that sort of thing around me. So I find that weightlifting is just what I gravitate to. Right now, and just because I'm trying to adjust, I just went back to full in-person classes. So I'm still adjusting to a bit of a schedule. I'm doing like 3 to 4 days of strength training a week with maybe like one day of more of like a HIIT or cardio.
Yeah, I know. I always dread cardio, and this is my first semester fully back in person too. Like last semester I had one in-person class that was like an 8 a.m. like optional attendance class. So it wasn't like go, 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 like you're back in person. And then the rest were on Zoom, and now I'm fully back in class. Mondays, Tuesdays, Thursdays, I'm in class all day. Like I know when we were even trying to decide what day to record a podcast, we're like, oh my gosh, we're back in-person classes. Like we had to make time for it. So I think that's really cool that like you also do strength training. I just started getting into using weights. I feel like I was always afraid of weights because like I was scared to injure myself or have the wrong form or get bulky. Like everyone says, like that's like the biggest myth. What's your kind of take on the myth of getting bulky when you start touching weights?
Yeah, it is such a big myth and such a big misconception. And I definitely feel like I've talked about this on my Instagram a few times because people are like, oh, you lift so much. Like, aren't you afraid of getting bulky? And it's such a misconception because like, we just don't have the metabolism and the hormones that men do that make them look that way in their physique. Our physiques physically, like, really can't get that way with just weightlifting. So it's just, I guess that's kind of my take on it. It's really not possible to get that way. So don't be afraid to lift heavy. It's, I feel like it's super empowering too when you're lifting heavy. It's like, wow, I lifted that. Like, that's more like than I weigh.
PR. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So for the first few months of me working out, I was like one of those like cardio and abs. That's all I'm touching. Like, that's the only, I'm not touching these new machines. Like, I'm too nervous, whatever. And then I eventually got into machines. I got into squatting with like the squat rack, even though I wasn't using weight on it, I was doing it. And then eventually I was like, okay, wait, I really love weight training and strength training. Like, it's so fun to just play with these weights. And then I sprained my back in, I forgot when it was, but it was like a few months ago. And I remember spraining my back. And this was a point where I was like obsessed with working out. And like, it was part of my daily ritual. Like, it was what like relieves my stress, everything. And I sprained my back. And I think it was an overtime thing of just incorrect form, incorrect posture. So I had 1 month of not being able to work out, or like, I couldn't even get out of bed for like a week. Like, I was literally on bed rest because my back was so like, and just in so much pain where I needed help to get out of bed and like go to the bathroom. Like, I was in so much pain. And so for a full month, I was not able to work out until I started going to the chiropractor every single day and just like healing it. And it's just crazy that I've like, during that time, I remember just being so depressed that I wasn't moving my body. And it's like, if you are not in the fitness space and in the fitness mindset, you don't realize the toll it takes on you. What are some advantages that have come in your life when you got into working out? Cause I know for me, when it got stripped away from me for a month, my mind was like, oh my God, what do I do now? Like, this was such a big part of my life that helped me when I was stressed out from school. And now it's just like taken away. What are some advantages that came to you when you got into the fitness space?
Yeah, similar to me. I love it for the stress relief, for just like a little bit of a break in the day. If I have classes, say in the morning and in the evening, but I've got a bit of like a midday, you know, just big 4-hour block of studying to do, I'll kind of use the gym as a good midday break. I also find that I'm just so much happier after I go to the gym, you know, it's a serotonin, like dopamine release, but like a positive one. So I find that that really affects my mood for the day. Like, if I'm having a really shitty day and like you go to the gym, it just puts you in such a better place when you leave, whether you have like not the greatest news you woke up to and then you go to the gym, you know, it just puts you in a better mindset to deal with whatever it is that day. Or if you have a stressful day coming up, you know, go get a quick workout in and now you're ready to handle that.
I agree. I feel like I'm the same way where even if it's like a Friday night and like people are out, if I just heard like bad news or I didn't get invited to something or I'm like upset about something, I'm like, the gym is where I'm going. Do you have a time where you prefer going morning, night, afternoon?
Yeah, I'm one of those weird people that works out at the most like what seems like inconvenient time, like 11 a.m. It's like, feel like for me, it's like 11 a.m. or 2 p.m. just because like, that's always when the gym is the quietest because
I know, people, yeah,
like,
really is
are like
quiet.
At work. So if I have the option, I'm definitely, I'm 11 a.m. or like a 2 p.m. workout girl.
That's so interesting. I mean, I guess, cause yeah, you go in between classes too. Like, I always like in the beginning, I was going around the same times as you, like 11, 1, 2, like sometimes 3, because it's so quiet. And in the beginning stages, I just didn't want to see anyone because I didn't even know what I was doing half the time. And then I was like, you know what? I feel like, cause my biggest goal in the beginning was like losing weight. So I was like, I was doing all this research and everyone was saying like, you have to work out in the morning. If you want to lose weight, it's like more effective. And so I was forcing myself to go to the gym at like 6:30 in the morning before classes or before work for like a month. And I hated it. Like, I was so miserable. And then after that month, I realized like, I don't enjoy working out as much because I'm doing it at 6:30 in the morning. So I started to migrate and now I'm in the 5:30, 6 p.m. like night phase, which is horrible because of how crowded it is. Like, oh my gosh, it is so overwhelming. And now that I'm more comfortable in my gym, I'm now in the point where I can go up to someone and be like, hey, what set are you on? And then like put my water bottle next to them. Like, I'm getting more comfortable, but it's so overwhelming if your music pauses for 1 second and you turn around out of your zone and you just see like 40 men just like all over this like sweaty gym. It's honestly the worst time to go. But for some reason, it's my favorite because it's like, you can get home, eat dinner, shower, and you're in bed. And it's just like, you're just like, my body gets so tired after that.
Yeah, that's true.
So good. How do you balance the gym, school, YouTube, and Instagram content creation, everything, because I'm kind of like in the same boat as you with balancing it, and it's super hard for me. So how do you kind of balance it? What are your best tips for managing your time, organizing it, and everything like that?
Yeah. Okay. I feel like I get this question literally all the time.
I feel like this is your biggest question. Yeah. Cause you do so much. It is
definitely, definitely one of my biggest questions. And I tend to fall back on one, I always time block when I know I have like a super busy week or something coming up. So that's pretty simple. Basically just writing down your tasks, whether it's for the day or the week, and looking at your daily schedule and going, okay, from 9 to 10, I'm getting this task done. From 10 to 11, I'm getting this task done. From 11 to 1, I have class. Like, so just like chunking out time blocks during the day, I find for me personally really helps. And then also, like I was saying, I kind of grew up always having a really busy schedule. So I guess I've always kind of been used to a lot on my plate. So I guess growing up, you kind of learn how to be effective with your time and just like get things done when things need to get done. Mm-hmm.
And you don't like and being bored.
Yeah. Like in the summer, so last summer was my first summer kind of like not really having to do anything. I was really just doing YouTube. I was doing a little bit of personal training, but I had no school or anything. And I like had so many days where I'm like, okay, I've got this giant time block. What do I do?
Yeah. So, what do you use to time block?
Literally just my iCal. Like,
really? You use Google Calendar?
I've never been a Google Calendar girl. Yeah, I don't know. I love that like my Google is attached to almost everything, but I love that my iCal is just like on my phone, and I find it really easy because I have like all Apple products. I have an iPad, MacBook, like phone. So it connects, and it's really, that's nice for me.
Yeah, I feel like as long as it's working, like you're fine. I don't know. I just love Google Calendar because it's just like I'm sure iCal does color coordination too, but I don't know. I just love the time block. And if like, even for this podcast, it's like, I link everything through the Google Calendar, just like links to like reservations and meetings and interviews and everything. I think time blocking, it's something that I get made fun of for low key, because people are like, why are you time blocking the fact that you're like washing your face or like doing skincare? Like, who cares? But it's like, if it's a priority to you, I feel like it's so important to time block it. So for me, I also time block on Google Calendar. I'll put, you know, I have class from 8 to 10 a.m. And then I have like a 2-hour break to do homework and grab lunch. Like, I write down everything I have to do. And I feel like that's also how you can make time for meal prepping, running errands, going to the gym, working out, all that stuff. Because I feel like people will also say they don't have time to work out. They don't have time to go to the gym. They don't have time to cook a meal, like a nutritious meal, to be healthy. Do you meal prep a lot?
It depends on what the week is like. So for me right now, I have full days of classes on Tuesdays and Thursdays. Mm-hmm. So typically what I'll do is I'll make dinner on Sundays or Mondays or like Wednesdays for that Thursday that have leftovers for at least lunch for that like full day that I can take to school with me. That's typically what I just tend to do, is like mini meal preps. I feel like it's not really meal prep. It's just like making enough dinner so that you have leftovers. That's like kind of like a meal prep, but that's what I tend to do.
And you live alone, right?
Yeah, I do.
How is it living alone at age 20 and kind of taking this lifestyle? Do you feel like it's easier because you live alone? Cause you're like, I have more time and space to kind of just like do what I want. I can use up the kitchen how I want, stock the fridge up with foods that like I only want to fill my body with.
Yeah, no, definitely. And I feel like for me, I've always been a pretty independent person as well. Like, I do have one sibling, but my brother and I are literally 8 years apart. So it's like very different. And I was always kind of like on my own and like doing my own thing. My parents both worked like a full-time job. So even in high school, I felt like very independent and had like a similar, not living on my own, but like I was very independent and like alone a lot. And I'm definitely a very to myself person. So I really enjoy living alone. I like having my own space and exactly like being able to use the kitchen, and the food in the fridge is everything that I want. And you don't have to worry about other people like taking it, or if I don't have like the ingredients for a meal or something, like everything's kind of just, I don't know. Like I said, I'm a very to myself person. So I really enjoy just having my own space. Nice.
Yeah. And I want to talk about how you said kind of being your own best friend in a way, because I know that on your YouTube, you do post a lot about just like self-care and just like, you kind of just hang out with yourself. You go to your workout classes, you cook by yourself. How is it kind of having that relationship with yourself? Because, you know, my podcast is all about a self-love journey and finding that time to be your own best friend. So how is it for you? How'd you kind of transition? Was there ever a part where you weren't like that? Or have you kind of just always been like that? And how would someone get into that and being their own best friend and being okay within their own company?
Yeah, I feel like for me, it was definitely towards the end of high school when I kind of realized that, you know, my friends all had their own friends. And I was just kind of that person that like was an extra friend in the group. And I got really upset about that, about the fact that like, I would put in time into these people and they were never really putting the time back into me, or that I would put in effort to try and hang out with them, but it was never reciprocated. It was always me asking to go do things, me asking for them to come over, et cetera, et cetera. It was always me being that person to go out and do that. I feel like that really made me, going into college, which is a very independent thing, realize that like, I'm on my own and I'm the only person that has to live with myself and be okay with like me and hang out with me forever. So I feel like that was kind of a turning point for me that made me go, you know what, I need to be okay with just being by myself and enjoying my own company. And like, yeah, hanging out with people is great, but I definitely feel like that high school situation made me much more of an introverted person. And like, I enjoy hanging out in a group with people, but like, it's exhausting. And afterwards I go home and I enjoy like unwinding by myself and like having that like peace and quiet and not having to like keep up a conversation all the time with someone. I feel like for me, being a little bit of that introverted extrovert is very exhausting.
Yeah.
So
I feel like I've grown into being more introverted. Whereas in high school, just like playing sports in high school, I feel like you're just going to be in a big group of girls all the time. So like,
yeah, it's,
especially with soccer. Yeah. Like you're just, when you're on a team of something and you're playing sports in high school, whoever's on that team just becomes your friend. In high school, I had a lot of trouble finding that like core friend group. Whereas like every single new sports season, I had a new friend group, or like I had a new best friend, because it was just whoever I was with all the time in high school. And in high school, you don't, most of the time, sometimes you will, most of the time you're not meant to find your best friend in high school, just because like, you know, you're forced to, you're put into this school. You didn't choose this school. You're in this school because you lived there. But when you're in college, you're choosing this school and you're going to school with so many more people. I went to a really small high school. I don't know if you went to a big one, but mine was super small.
Mine was pretty small as well.
Yeah. So it's like you're thrown in and kind of forced to see these people every day. So you kind of have to be forced to be friends with them. And growing up, I feel like in college, I had a core, like I have a core friend, like girl group, but like when you hang out with like that core friendship, you don't feel like you have to speak or hold a conversation. Like sometimes I can just sit across from one of my best friends and not even talk to them. But I feel like also as a girl, and this is not me trying to stereotype, because I'm sure it happens with guys too, but I feel like with girls mostly, girls tend to leave people out a lot. They tend to not think of someone or gossip about someone or purposely not invite someone. It's just like always like an ordeal with girls when that happens. And like I said, I'm sure it happens with guys too, but I've just seen it happen with girls. I've been in the position of being left out. And I feel like being in that position multiple times makes you more introverted. It makes you feel like these people, like I can make myself just as happy as they can on a Friday night. So like, why am I going to do the extra step and go out if I can just stay in and like have a good night by myself? What are some things that you do when you want to kind of just spend the night with yourself and wind down, and it's like a Friday night and you're like, I don't feel like going out tonight. I just want to be by myself. What do you do?
My favorite thing is taking like a good long time to cook dinner, whether it's like putting on a podcast episode or putting on Gossip Girl. I feel like Gossip Girl is always my go-to, and my followers know that, because I feel like I just post that all the time.
So comforting.
Yeah, honestly. So whether it's taking like an hour and a half to cook dinner, sitting down and like watching either a movie or like two or three episodes of something, like taking like an hour and a half to like sit down and chill and eat dinner. And then afterwards doing like a face mask, like some sort of more interesting skincare than just like a part of your regular skincare routine. And then for me, normally it's like ending off the night or reading a bit of a book.
Yeah. And what is it in the 20s? I feel like when you tell people or you tell your friends, like, I'm going to stay in tonight, you get a lot of, oh my God, you're so boring, you're so lame, come out with us. How do you deal with that? Because I get that a lot too. And I'm someone that, like I said, I'm more introverted now, where like I just enjoy being home. But there are some nights where I'm in the mood to go out. I don't love drinking. How is it kind of just like wanting to stay in rather than going out, especially like at our age?
Yeah, I also live a bit farther away from my friends. So I go to a commuter school campus, and then a lot of my friends are more like right now, like downtown central. So it takes me like almost an hour and a half to get to them because I also don't have a car. So I transit.
Oh, wow.
So there's also that half the time, if I don't want to go out, I'm like, yeah, I don't want to have to take the hour and a half transit and use that as a good excuse.
Yeah.
Or like, if I don't have someone's place to stay over, like, I don't really want to go home at 1 a.m. and get home at 3 a.m. Like,
yeah,
basically the journey to get there as an excuse. I feel like for me, I've never really been concerned with what people think if they like, I'm not a huge drinker and I never really have been, because I feel like I was raised in an environment that was like,
it's for some reason so romanticized to like black out and drink crazy and like wake up and not remember your morning. And it's like, I feel like I get why people would get excited to go out and drink. Like I said, sometimes I do get in that mood where it's like, I'm in the mood to go out and have like a drink tonight and whatever. I never liked alcohol. I don't know why. I just like, it hurts my stomach. It gives me a headache. I feel like also being in the wellness and health space, I don't know if it's just me, but like I overthink every single like sip of alcohol that I have now. Or like if I see someone like vaping or smoking or something, like I just think of what it's going to do to my body. Like even hookah, I'm super Middle Eastern. So hookah is like a very common thing that like you just do if you're like hanging out in a group, especially in the summer. And I never really thought about like, oh, what is it going to do to me? But after getting into health and wellness space, I feel like you're just so aware and you're just like, I don't want to hurt my body. I know what that's going to do to my body. Before we go, what is your number one tip for someone who wants to begin their self-love journey and wants to remain consistent with it, start fitness, start eating clean, start all these great lifestyle habits? What's your number one tip for them to pull through with this?
To start slow, not to jump into it and try and change your life overnight. Because realistically, if you're in this place that's so far from where you want to be and you try and jump into all these new habits right away, you're going to crash and burn. It's not sustainable and it's not going to be a lasting, healthy lifestyle. So my biggest tip is to start slow, start doing like one new thing a week, whether it's you want to start drinking more water, start with that. You want to get up earlier, start moving your clock 10 minutes earlier a week, not even a day. Like, so say you want to wake up at 7 a.m. and right now you're waking up at 9, start with 8:50, then 8:40, and just take it week by week, take it slow. You literally, you're so young and you have such a long life to live that why not take longer and make it a sustainable lifestyle rather than a quick fix?
Yeah, I think baby steps is like the biggest tip to give, because when people want to get into this wellness space, they want to do a million things at once. Like they're going to listen to this episode and they're going to say, I'm going to go grocery shopping, clean my room, buy a journal, get workout clothes, like get a membership, like do all these crazy things. But it's like, if you just take it slow and you're just like, let me list out my priorities, what's the number one thing that I want to fix in my life? Figure out how you're going to tackle that one week. And then the next week, figure out how you're going to tackle something else. Like, a self-love and wellness journey, it doesn't have a destination. It's called a journey for a reason. You know, there's not a stop to it. It's just building little habits every single day that are going to get you there. Thank you so much for coming on. Before you go, I want you to shout out your socials, your YouTube, your Instagram, everything, where everyone can find you.
Yeah, of course. Well, thank you for having me. I've loved being able to do this, but it's at Vanessa Tiu on literally any platform. So on YouTube, Vanessa Tiu, Instagram, TikTok is both just at Vanessa Tiu. Spotify, Pinterest, and I think that's all that I use, but it's just all at Vanessa Tiu.
Perfect. And I will link everything in the description below.
Okay with drinking. Half my my in-laws' family is Barbadian, so like I feel like drinking is a big part of the culture, as well as like my other half is Estonian, so European, where drinking age is like 14 or something. So it's always kind of just been like, hey, you want to drink, like chill. I've never had that big drinking culture, like go out, get smashed, get wasted. It's never really been a thing for me or something that I really wanted to participate in anyways. And I'm lucky enough to have kind of a group of friends that doesn't really enjoy doing that either.
Thank you again so much for coming on. I hope you guys enjoyed this episode.